Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. They Poisoned the World: Life and Death in the Age of Forever Chemicals is an investigative nonfiction book by journalist Mariah Blake that examines the history, science, and human consequences of PFAS, the persistent industrial compounds known as forever chemicals, drawing on years of reporting. Blake traces how these substances were developed in the mid-20th century, industrialized for commercial and military use, and then allowed to spread into water, soil, wildlife, and human bodies despite early signs of danger. The book is not only a history of chemical innovation, but also an account of corporate secrecy, weak regulation, and the communities that were forced to confront contamination on their own. Its purpose is to explain how a modern environmental health crisis became so widespread and why accountability has been so difficult to achieve. By combining scientific context with public interest reporting, the book aims to make an invisible pollution problem legible to general readers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, PFAS were created through wartime science and later normalized in everyday industry. A central argument of the book is that forever chemicals did not emerge accidentally as a byproduct of modern life. They were developed deliberately within high-stakes military research and then moved into civilian commerce. Blake traces their origins to the Manhattan Project era, when fluorinated compounds were valued for their unusual resistance to heat, water, and chemical breakdown. That same durability made them attractive for a wide range of consumer and industrial products, from nonstick surfaces to stain resistance and firefighting foams. The book shows why this property became the core of the problem. The very feature that made PFAS commercially useful also made them environmentally persistent. Once they entered large-scale production, they were effectively designed to remain in circulation for decades or longer. Blake uses this history to show that the PFAS crisis was not a freak accident, but the predictable result of prioritizing performance and convenience without adequately accounting for long-term ecological costs. Secondly, the book exposes a long pattern of corporate concealment and selective disclosure. Blake's reporting emphasizes that manufacturers did not simply fail to notice the danger of PFAS. In many cases, they learned enough to understand that the compounds posed serious risks while keeping that knowledge from the public. The book reconstructs a pattern in which internal testing, worker health concerns, and contamination signals were treated as matters to manage rather than reasons to change course. This theme matters because it shifts the story from ignorance to responsibility, rather than presenting pollution as an unavoidable side effect of scientific progress. Blake shows how secrecy enabled the chemicals to remain widely used long after warning signs appeared. The concealment was reinforced by legal and public relations strategies that obscured risk and delayed accountability. In the book's account, corporate behavior is not a side issue, but a structural cause of the crisis, because every delay in disclosure widened the scale of exposure and made remediation more difficult. The result is a detailed critique of how industrial power can outpace public oversight. Thirdly, Hoosick Falls and similar communities reveal how contamination becomes visible only after harm accumulates. The book grounds its larger argument in the experience of affected communities, especially Hoosick Falls, New York, where residents learned that their drinking water had been contaminated with PFAS. Blake uses this case to show how environmental harm often becomes undeniable only after years of invisible exposure. By the time contamination is detected, residents may already have experienced cancer clusters, reproductive problems, or other serious health concerns. Yet prevencation remains difficult. The book highlights the social toll of this uncertainty, fear, anger, distrust of authorities, and the exhausting burden placed on ordinary people who must investigate threats that regulators should have identified sooner. Blake's approach makes clear that contamination is not just a technical event, but a lived crisis shaped by local organizing, medical anxiety, and the struggle to secure basic information. Hoosick Falls functions as a representative case, illustrating how a small town can become the front line of a national public health emergency. Through this lens, the book shows the human cost of delayed recognition and fragmented responsibility. Fourthly, regulatory failure is presented as a system problem, not a single lapse. Another major theme is the weakness of the regulatory framework that allowed PFAS to spread with limited oversight. Blake argues that government agencies often lacked the legal tools, scientific standards, or political will to respond quickly enough once evidence of danger emerged. The book does not portray this as one isolated agency mistake. Instead, it presents a broader system in which industrial lobbying, fragmented authority, and slow toxicology review created an environment favorable to contamination. This matters because it explains why the crisis persisted even when warning signs were visible. Regulatory delay gave manufacturers time to continue production, broaden product use, and shift the burden of proof onto the public. The book also underscores how difficult it is to regulate chemicals that are widespread, long-lasting, and profitable. once PFAS entered the market. The failure to require strong pre-market testing or rapid corrective action meant that exposures multiplied across military sites, industrial regions, and household products. Blake's analysis makes the regulatory dimension central to the story of why the problem became so large. Lastly, community resistance and environmental justice are treated as part of the solution. While the book is uncompromising about the scale of the damage, it also gives significant attention to community activism and grassroots response. Blake shows that residents, local organizers, journalists, and scientists often become the driving force behind exposure disclosure and remediation efforts when institutions move too slowly. This emphasis on resistance is important because it reframes affected communities as investigators and advocates rather than passive victims. The book suggests that environmental justice depends on whether ordinary people have the resources to demand testing, access information, and force authorities to act. In practice, the communities most burdened by contamination are often those with the least institutional power, making activism both necessary and unevenly distributed. Blake's reporting therefore links PFAS to larger questions of whose health is protected, whose suffering is ignored, and who must pay for cleanup. The book's value lies partly in showing that chemical pollution is not only a scientific issue, but also a civic one, where public accountability depends on sustained local pressure. In conclusion, They Poisoned the World will be most useful for readers who want a serious, well-reported account of environmental health, chemical regulation, and corporate accountability. It is especially relevant for students, journalists, public policy readers, scientists, activists, and anyone trying to understand why PFAS contamination became such a widespread crisis. The book offers more than a summary of toxic exposure. It connects industrial history, regulatory failure, and community organizing in a way that makes the problem both understandable and politically concrete. That combination is what makes it stand out in the crowded field of environmental nonfiction. Many books focus either on the science of contamination or on a single local disaster. But Blake links the origins of forever chemicals to wartime research, post-war commercialization, and the lived reality of affected towns. The result is a broad and persuasive explanation of how modern chemical dependence can outlast public oversight. Readers come away with both a clearer grasp of PFAS and a sharper sense of how environmental harms are hidden, normalized, and eventually challenged. If you would like to support Mariah Blake, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.